good evening and welcome to the Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. This is the School of Ministry, especially for those of you who are first-year students. I want to take this opportunity to welcome you. This class is Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. I am your instructor for this class, Dr. W. Ron Walker. I'm under the apostolic guidance of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. I want you to know that this school of ministry is an apostolic ministry. And this class, Catching the Waves of Revival, is designed to push the church into the fullness of apostolic ministry and government in the church. So we will begin with the introduction. We will also cover certain aspects in chapter number one. Then this year, we're going to do something a little bit different because I want you for your next class to read chapter number 18 in your book, which is talking about the revivalists. This book is Catching the Waves of Revival. So there are seven revivals in the New Testament that you must familiarize yourself with. The first one is times of revelation. The second is times of repentance. The third is times of refreshing. The fourth one is times of revealing. The fifth one is times of restoration. The sixth one is times of reformation. And the seventh one is times of the revivalists. These are the seven major revivals of the New Testament. And I'm going to approach this class this semester with something that God does throughout the entire scripture. He takes us to the end. He says, this is where it's at. Now let me take you to the beginning and say, walk on through it. So that's what we're going to do this semester. However, we will start with the introduction and let us begin. The definition of revival.
Sovereign act.
Revival means the sovereign act
of God
in which God restores
his own backsliding
church
to repentance.
So the first thing about revival is we understand that it begins with what? Repentance and
faith
and obedience. So in other words, God brings the church through repentance back to faith and obedience. Go ahead.
In Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. Hosea the prophet
describes revival
as the breaking up
of fallow ground
that once have been tilled.
So that simply means the fallow ground is the soul of man. We must understand that in the fall of man, man's soul was greatly compromised and affected. It went from revelation to reasoning. So in order for God to deal effectively with his people, we must go through a process, according to Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. We must go through a complete metamorphosis. You know what he said? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So in the fall of man, the soul of man went from revelation to reasoning. So in order for us to go back to God's original plan, we must deal with the soul of man, which is not saved in the new birth. In the new birth, the spirit of man have received eternal life, God's divine nature. But in order for the soul to be saved, we must, according to James 1:18, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. So when you start dealing with apostolic and prophetic ministry, we're not dealing with the spirit of man. We're dealing with the soul of man. Okay, go ahead.
Revival
is seen as the breaking forth
of heaven's fire
on the earth.
It breaks the effects
and the influences of hell's fire
on the earth.
And it establishes God's kingdom
and
God's government here on earth. So y'all understand, people act like the devil is in charge. The devil is not in charge. Look at y'all quiet. The devil is not in charge. And God don't have us down here trying to escape and get to heaven to escape the devil power. We have the power. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, occupy till I come. It is important in apostolic government and ministry that the church recognizes that hell cannot prevail against the church. So with all of the hell and hellish things that are going on in the world, it is the responsibility of the church to answer hell's fire with heaven's fire. That's why the scriptures in Matthew 3:11, the scriptures say, this is John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one that's coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose or to bear. Notice what it says. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Holy Ghost fire is heaven's fire. And Holy Ghost fire is here to consume the fire from hell. That's good news. That's good. Go ahead, daughter.
The purpose of the apostolic
is to create heaven to earth government. Now, this is going to be on your quiz, so you pay attention. The purpose of the apostolic is to
create
heaven to earth's government.
Structure
which allows the portals of the supernatural
to be open.
That is the purpose of apostolic government. That is why God set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Well, let's get it. 1 Corinthians 12:28. I like to be accurate. So let's go ahead on and get it. 1 Corinthians 12:28. We'll start at the 27th verse. Now you are the body of Christ and you are
members
in particular. And God had set
some
in the church.
First
apostles,
secondarily
prophets,
thirdly
teachers.
After that,
miracles,
then
gifts of
healings,
helps,
governments,
and
diversities
of tongues.
Are
you listening? Now, that's the same list that can be found in Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. Well, let's start at the 8th verse.
Wherefore he saith,
when he ascended up on high,
he led captive,
and he gave gifts unto men.
Now that he ascended,
what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Read.
He that descended
is the same also that ascended up far above
all
heavens,
that
he might fill
all
things.
And
note, here's the list.
And
he gave some apostles
and
some prophets
and
some evangelists
and
some pastors
and
some teachers. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the building up of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or matured man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. That is the purpose of apostolic government, is that the church would become Christ in the earth realm. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So we are the body of Christ. We are members in particular. In order for God to develop the body, the church, he said, I set in the church or in the body, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Same list in Ephesians 4 and 11. Don't let gifts of healings and the working of miracles, that's the ministry or the work of an evangelist. Helps and governments is the pastoral ministry. You listening? Okay, back to the lesson, daughter.
The only way to shut the gates of hell.
The only way to shut the gates of hell.
Is to open the doors of heaven.
Is to open the doors of heaven.
Cooperation and revival.
There must be cooperation in revival.
God cannot move. Unless men have prepared themselves.
So in order for there to be a revival, we can't wait on God. God is waiting on man to respond to him. Go ahead.
In accordance to his revealed word.
Revival is a cooperation. And it's a covenant thing.
The fire came from heaven. After the prophet Elijah had built an altar. According to God's word. 1 Kings 18.
That's 1 Kings chapter 18. 30 through 38. We're not going to read those references because we'll be here all night. Go ahead.
The rain came after Noah had built the ark.
According to God's word.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Came down.
After the apostles.
Prepared themselves corporately and cooperatively.
In the upper room. Revival is a sovereign move of God.
This is what that means. When God decides revival is that manifest in the earth realm, no power in the earth or in the heavenlies can stop it because God is sovereign. He's the supreme authority in the universe. And students, we must understand this language. In God's government, there shall be no end. So democracy is not greater than theocracy. We are here, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we cannot allow the government of the world to rule the government of the church. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, for unto us, verse 6, and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So right now we see the church is functioning as the government of God in the earth realm. And without the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, God's government cannot be administrated and carried out in this earth realm. Go ahead.
Revival is an intervention
of God
in the affairs of men.
It's not something
you or I plan.
revival is not something that you or I plan.
It is
something that God does by the power of His Holy Spirit.
We can lay the foundation.
We can lay the foundation and prepare.
But it is God
that has to move.
We have to follow instruction.
We must follow instruction.
Catching the waves of revival.
Catching the waves of revival
is the unfolding
of what it takes. Of what it will take
to bring revival,
into our cities and into our land, and especially in our churches. Go ahead.
We will study the various stages
of revival.
Most people believe
we will have to wait
for revival
because revival is a sovereign act that only God
can determine
when it should happen.
The fire came after Elijah.
But here's what we must understand. The fire came after Elijah
built the altar.
First Kings 18,
30 through 38.
The rain came after Noah built the ark. But all of this is predicated upon what? God having spoken to them. They had to follow instruction. Go ahead.
Genesis 6.
16 through 22.
And Genesis chapter 7.
16 and 17.
The glory came.
After Moses built the tabernacle.
Exodus 40 verse 34.
The heavens opened.
After Jesus prayed.
Luke 3:21.
The Holy Spirit came.
After they gathered together.
In the upper room. Acts 2:1-4.
Verses 1-4.
The Holy Spirit came.
After the apostles laid their hands.
On the believers.
Acts 8:17.
There is something we must do
to activate revival
in our cities
and in our ministries.
The stages of revival
as unfolded in this book
can help us to prepare our churches
to walk into the spirit
of revival
before that revival breaks out
in full scale.
To know how
and what to do
is important.
And we need to have
apostolic and prophetic insight
and perception.
And we must have spiritual perception.
We that are in this new generation
have to know.
We have been given keys
to the kingdom.
We know about
ask,
seek,
and knock. But in the church, under the pastoral form of government, we developed a knocking theology.
We must,
in the apostolic and in the prophetic, we must move from a knocking theology to a unlocking theology.
Matthew 16:19.
Now we're going to read that one. This is Jesus speaking. Once they got the revelation that he is the Christ, he is the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In order to build the church, you got to have building material. So Jesus gave 5 gifts to the church. Those 5 gifts, once again, are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. These 5 gifts make up God in the earth realm, because these 5 graces of five gifts make up the one Lord Jesus Christ. Last I checked, 1/5 of five is one. Are you listening? Five in the scriptures is the number of grace. Are you listening? The Bible says, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the grace of God is personified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those five graces are gifts, ministry gifts that God gave to the church, or that Jesus rather gave to the church, are the five that God set in the church. You listening? Now, in explaining this, so that you can understand it, if you take a young lady and you give her a wedding band, are you listening? We can say that that wedding band represents the church. That wedding band can have the capacity to handle diamond stones, right? So those diamond stones are the gifts that Jesus gave that God set. And they were set in the church in the order that it took to build the church. In Ephesians 2:20, it says that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So every building that is erected must be erected on a foundation. And the foundation that nobody else can lay other than that which is already laid, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Go ahead, daughter.
Stop knocking
and start unlocking.
One believer can knock.
But it is up to God
to determine
if and when
he will open.
Now, y'all notice this will have to do with the way you think. See, one believer, he wants to keep knocking, and he leaves it up to God. When God gonna do something about this? That's pastoral form of thinking. Read.
The other believer determines.
It is over.
And he have keys in his hand.
Y'all understand that? It's over and he has what? Keys in his hand. Go ahead.
One believes in waiting on God. While the other believes
in advancing the kingdom. See, you can advance the kingdom because you have the keys of the kingdom, which represents the what? The authority of the kingdom. Now read Matthew 6:19. Y'all forgot, but I didn't. Go ahead.
And I will give unto thee
the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
And whatsoever
you shall bind in the earth
shall be bound in heaven.
And whatsoever you shall loose in the earth
shall be loosed in heaven.
Now, let me show you something so you'll understand this properly. You cannot bind what is not already bound. So in order for you to bind something in the earth, you got to have revelation from heaven telling you, I bound that already. Talk to me up here. Okay, go ahead, daughter, read.
These apostolic teachings
and procedures
will help the church
to work out their own soul salvation
and to come into their full inheritance
as members of the body of the Christ.
The keys of the kingdom
are given unto a mature church,
not an immature one.
You don't give a gun to an immature child. Are you listening? Okay, go ahead.
Who will squander her inheritance?
You still waiting on your inheritance. God said mature. Mature. So you can be a partaker of it. Go ahead.
You have to be a real son. To carry the keys.
And a real daughter to carry the keys.
You cannot use the keys as a rookie.
You can't have these little rookies driving cars. Okay, go ahead.
We can bring full-scale transformation
on this
earth,
on this earth,
by thinking with a mind
of a strategist,
and pursuing this course
with the spirit of the revivalist.
Do not allow or do not let strategies
take the place of your spirit.
True revival
produces specifications
for the good of man
and the glory of God. And for the glory of God.
Chapter
number one.
Revival is a divine attack on society.
The closest biblical word to revival
is revive
or reviving.
It is derived from the Hebrew word
chaya, which is a primitive root
meaning to live.
This word is also translated
in the Strong's Concordance,
meaning to nourish.
It means also to preserve alive.
It also means to quicken,
that means to make alive.
And it also means to restore.
Save alive.
It also means to save alive.
And make whole.
And it also means to make whole.
The first four times
that this word chaya is translated,
revived
in the King James Version of the Bible,
it deals with four
increasing levels
of death.
Number one, in Genesis 45, 27,
no, we're not going there. We're giving it to you for reference.
But what I may do to show if you're reading these references is tell you to match them up with what we're saying.
Okay,
so Genesis 45, verse 27.
It reveals
unto us that Jacob's spirit of hope
was realized
when he saw Joseph's wagon.
Now, what does that mean?
You remember in the scripture how that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery,
then brought the coat of many colors, which his father Jacob gave to him because he was his favorite.
They couldn't handle the dreams that Joseph had, so they concocted a story saying, okay, we're going to get rid of this dreamer.
So they put him in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and went home to the father with this story.
Oh, your favorite son is dead.
So Jacob mourned Joseph for many years
because he was the son of his old age, his favorite.
But could you imagine after many years finding out
your son that you thought was dead is fully alive?
But it didn't seem like reality to Jacob until he saw those wagons.
Talk to me
until he had something to what?
See, I know you walk by faith, but I walk by faith too.
But faith produces something for you to see.
Well, don't write that down in your notes.
Go ahead, read.
Revival starts
from that small hopeful
conviction
that one day
we will see the glory
and the power of God.
Revival breaks forth
from a hope
that does not disappoint.
Any of you get disappointed in life?
Any of you feel frustrated in life?
Well, you know what the Reverend Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive.
Don't act like I'm not trying to be funny.
Keep hope alive.
But the scriptures teach us that hope deferred make the heart sick.
But when the desire cometh.
See, that's why you got to feed on God's word.
Because God's word in revival tells you, you can expect God to come true for you.
That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what you cannot see.
Go ahead.
Number two.
In Judges chapter 15, verse number 19,
it it reveals to us
that Samson's thirst
was quenched by a supernatural source,
which caused his strength
to return,
and he was
what? Revived. Go ahead.
Revival starts
as an unquenchable thirst
that only a supernatural source
can satisfy. That's why many times you find yourself in a place that it don't seem like you can get out of. That's not to kill you. It's to whet your thirst. Hello? I don't know why God don't abandon you. You're never alone. See, that's why the church, especially in 2023, the church of apostle declared unto us at the beginning of the year, he said, this year would be the year of being more than a conqueror. That means you got to go through something, baby. And that also means, baby, that's a Louisiana language down here. If you don't know, we call everybody baby. So don't get upset. That means you're going to have to go through some things that it don't look like you can come out of. But God has decreed that you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. And then I hear him saying, in the world, you would have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Catching the waves of revival is to get you out of your comfort zone, out of your places of complacency, to light a fire so you can be a hot coal catching on to somebody else. Go ahead.
Revival
is the coming in
of a new freshness
from the supernatural provision of God.
Number three.
In 1 Kings chapter 17,
22,
verse 22,
it reveals
to us
that Elijah's prayer
was heard
and God responded to his voice
by reviving
and restoring the child.
Now, you know, you have to be a Bible student, but please read your Bible. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah the prophet was sent to the widow woman of Zarephath. Are you listening? And this widow woman of Zarephath was commanded to sustain him because there was a famine in the land. And isn't it something? God sent a prophet to you and you broke. God sent a prophet to you, you in a worse off condition. But that's why God sent him. God sends the prophet to the woman of Zarephath and says, I've commanded her to sustain you. And when the prophet showed up, all she had was two sticks, a little meal in a barrel, and a little cruse of oil that she said, I'm about to bake this cake for me and my son that we may eat it and die. But God sent the prophet to revive her, to bring revival in her life. But she had to trust the prophet by the instructions that he gave her. And you know what the instructions were. Bake me a cake first, then after for you and your son. See, take care of God things first. Well, after all of that happened, you're listening, the child died. And that woman said, well, hell, this same prophet kept me alive and my son. Well, I'm going to him. Good God Almighty. That's how revival works. God will send you a prophet. Go ahead, child.
Revival
starts in response
to our voice of
what? Prayer. In the church, through our intercessors and our own personal prayer lives, revival begins with you. And the first sign that you're ready for apostolic and prophetic revival is your prayer life going to increase. Go ahead, child.
God moves in response
to our intercession
and prayer.
And our prayer.
Revival Revival has a lot to do with human.
Has a lot to do with human
responsibility.
Activating the supernatural move of God. Notice to say, revival has a lot to do with human responsibility. In 2023, one of the most outstanding characteristics of our day is we're dealing with a bunch of folks who don't want no responsibility, but want the reward. That's indicative of this generation. We want God's blessing with no commitment. Are you listening? People want the benefits of marriage without getting married. Ain't no sense. Look at me all crazy. You're online. You can cross your eyes about I see you. Go ahead.
God cannot. And will not.
Start a revival by himself.
Number four.
In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21,
it reveals
that a dead man
came to life
when his dead corpse
touched the bones of Elijah.
Did you hear that? Elisha was buried in a grave. Are you listening? His servant Gehazi, that anointing should have been passed on to it, but he forfeited it. He wanted something before the time. Are you listening? Thank you for your enthusiasm. See, the anointing that's upon a prophet's life, on apostle's life, are you listening, can be imparted to you, but you got to qualify. That anointing that's placed upon the apostolic and the prophetic does not leave the earth realm. It remains in the earth realm. Gehazi didn't get it. Are you listening? But it was still in Elisha's bones. And when this man, this dead man's body was thrown in the grave with Elisha, he got up. Well, hell, why don't the church get up? Go ahead.
Revival
starts with the principle. Revival starts with the principle of what? Continuous. So even though we will be studying the stages, the seven different revivals, it don't stop with one and start with another. It's based upon the principle of continuance. Y'all should have threw it back. I was looking for the word continuance. Go ahead. It's based upon the principle of what? Continuous. Jesus said in St. John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, go ahead.
Revival starts when we become
fully submerged
in the teachings
and the revelations
of the old order
and we become baptized
by their message.
We need to touch the bones
of our forefathers
if we're going to carry
on from the old
into the new today. Somebody get Romans 15 and 4, because we live in a day now where people tell us read the New Testament and don't read the Old Testament. That's why it's Old and New Testament. Are you listening? Kind of like these people today who are in school who want to tell us we don't need to know about history. We should only know about the history they're comfortable with. Are you listening? So now they want to accuse, you know, we have to understand, listen to me. I don't mind listening to what people say, but at the end of the day, I'm going back to this book here. Now watch what this book say, Romans 15 and 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime,
all right. So if it was written aforetime, that's history, right? But we got to leave from history to mysteries. You listening? Go ahead, child.
That we through patience
and comfort of the scriptures might have what? So God always want us to remember the things from the past, because it will help us to what?
understand our now and our future. All right. Well, now, students, go ahead on and prepare yourselves. I'll give it to you again. I want you to read your book. But we're going to finish chapter one up with the next session. And we're also going to start looking at the times of the revivalists. Enjoy your evening.